appropriate too.
How cute Nuki is.
I'd like to come back to order. I apologize. We underestimated our recess by about 50 minutes. Is that a word even?
Mr. Chair, isn't that Senate time?
Yeah, sadly so. Football time.
But the good news is this is the last bill, and we won't be here till 11:30, and hopefully we can conclude rather quickly. As we said before we recessed, there are two bills that are on our agenda, Senate File 709 and Senate File 248, both dealing with the same issue in slightly different ways. There has been discussions over the past number of months and more in the last couple of days, more intensely, about trying to create to move away from a moratorium structure of resolving or dealing with this issue to something that involves trying to establish some criteria. And the parties involved have met with us recently here in the last several minutes, half hour, hour. We do have an agreement. Senator Fischbach, why don't we take up your bill? And then if you want to talk about the amendment that we will add to your bill, and we can proceed. So, Senator Fischbach.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. It is actually Senate File 248, but there is the A2 amendment. No, I'm sorry, the A5. I have both here. It is the A5 amendment. And I guess technically we could do it as an author's amendment, but maybe we should just go through it a little bit if everybody has it in front of them. The first, I guess we'll start with the lines 1.19. And that is those lines, those through 122 is, is the exception for the Woodwinds Hospital that has been discussed, and so that language would create that exception. The language from 124 to the bottom of page 1, some of the most important information there would be the on 1.28 would be the new radiation therapy facility is located at least 7 miles, so that would be a 7 mile radius for a new radiation facility being built. So that was one of the portions of it. And then the next portion of that 1.30, that gives information regarding the need for the physician to disclose any financial interest they may have in a radiation facility. And in addition, how many are the referrals that they would have to provide and the information regarding existing radiation therapy facilities within the 14-county metropolitan area so that the physician would have to disclose and any interest they may have and provide the patient with a list of all of those facilities that they would be able to use. And forgive me, I'm trying to match up the new lines with old lines, so because it has changed just slightly. On the second page there, F gives the definition of the financial interest that the physician would have to disclose so that there isn't any question what they need to be disclosing to the patient. The next section gives some information regarding exceptions for relocation and reconstruction and what they can, how they would not be subject to the moratorium. The section 2 provides for a study for the of the radiation therapy facilities and their capacity. There is no fiscal note associated with this bill because that would be the way it is written here. The allotment would be carried in the my understanding in the omnibus health bill. And so this gives some information regarding what the study needs to be and that it would be returned to the legislature by March 15, 2013, prior to the moratorium being done. The moratorium would stay in place until 2014. So I hope I have explained everything that is there.
Are there any questions from members? Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Fischbach, I see a reference to the 14-county metropolitan area on line 1.31.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that my understanding is that is what the moratorium covers so that those would match up.
So it's probably the ones listed above now that I think about it.
Okay.
Senator
Four,
Fischbach.
6, 8, 10. Yeah, that's 14.
Yes.
Okay.
We can have conversation directed through the chair.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Thank
it's
you.
Late. My brain's
I don't want to lose complete control of life. Does somebody else have a question? Senator Nino.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Line 1.31, I just I don't know if this needs clarification or not, but it indicates that a list of radiation therapy facilities must be supplied. Is that intended to be a complete list or a representative sample list? I'm just not sure if that needs to be clarified. That was just a question that occurred to me as I read.
Senator Fischbach and Senator Nino, I think that the list of facilities located within that is intended to mean all of them. So there would be an opportunity for people who are getting a referral to have a complete list of their treatment options in the count in the region. Their particular plans may restrict their options given whatever the constraint of their plan might be. But the idea was to present people with a complete list of options for treatment without biasing that recommendation to say this one rather than that one.
Well, council may want to weigh in. Does that need to be clarified or is this adequate?
Mr. Chair and Senator Nino, would it help if on line 31 after of you put all, so it'd be a list of all radiation therapy facilities located?
Senator Fischbach, is that an acceptable?
That seems like it was the intent, and I think that clarifies things, so I guess I would be willing to. We haven't adopted the A5, so we could
just incorporate that.
Into the amendment,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Chair, I have a couple of grammatical things.
Oh no!
As long as
we missed those.
Yeah, you did. Sorry, hate to tell you. On line 1.24, delete the only where it is and put it after the word constructed, so the radiation facility may be constructed only if the following requirements are met.
Okay.
And then on 2.12, there's the phrase time period. And I don't care which word you use, but you use one or the other of them. The time in which the facility is closed or the period in which the facility is closed. I don't care. We don't need both words. So I'll say the period in which the facility is closed. So delete time. So if it's okay, we can just incorporate that.
Senator Council, any problem with those amendments?
Thank you,
Senator
Higgins. Mr. Chair, I'll incorporate those. In the-
Thank you. Other questions on the amendments? Senator Sharon.
I guess I should ask. I'm noticing that after August 1st, 2014, there's a
Sharon, which are you on the first page?
I'm on page 1, line 1.24. Beginning there, there's a series of descriptors of conditions, I guess you'd say, under which a radiation therapy facility may be constructed.
Yes.
After 2014. And I just wondered if you had considered or noted that the study also asks a series of questions that I think should be considered before because the study is looking at the extent of treatment capacity, the need for radiation therapy services based on population. You know, the study is really creating a set of data on which expansion ought to be considered, and that's not finished before we allow an expansion. So I wish you'd include that and delay the date, unless that's misunderstood.
Well, Senator Sharon, let me make sure I understand. The point with the August 1st, 2014, that is the date upon which the current moratorium will expire. So what we're suggesting is that we anticipate the moratorium to go away to be replaced by criteria, and we have outlined suggested criteria here. We've also said on Section 2 that we would like to have this study completed by March of 2013, and the reason for that would be that if those criteria need to be adjusted as a result of that study, they may be adjusted. But the importance of including the criteria we have is, first of all, to say we have made a commitment to look at criteria rather than moratoria as a way to address the issue, and that there is a general agreement about things like trying to make sure that the current radiation facilities have some assurance that they're not going to be driven out of business in some cutthroat manner, but also create opportunities for flexibility to allow new facilities to be put up or moved so that we don't have to deal with exceptions to a moratorium. And so that's the reason why it's done this way. So it's not to suggest that these criteria can never be changed. Obviously, the next legislature is not bound by what we may do here. But that was the idea here, was to create a commitment to moving from a moratorium to a criteria-based structure and use the study as a way to either affirm or challenge or change, or perhaps criteria don't work. Perhaps we have to contemplate, yeah. But that's the intent, and that's why we did it with the dates we did it. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense, and I, as long as I hear the intent is that the data will help drive the decision rather than a set of pre-existing conditions as listed here.
And I appreciate, by the way, I think, Senator Laurie, you and I had some conversation about trying to do this, and I know there were others, and I'd heard from outside the legislature people who suggested we needed to maybe look at this, and so I appreciate those thoughts and try to incorporate them. Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to go back to line 1.31 again, the 14-county metropolitan area phrase. And I just assumed that they would be the counties listed up on lines 9, 10, and 11. But I see St. Louis County in there, which I don't know anybody could call that a metropolitan area since it's like Duluth and north. So I'm wondering whether the phrase on lines 31 and 32, instead of saying the 14-county metropolitan area, should maybe say the 14 counties listed in paragraph B above or something like that?
Ms. Cavanaugh, is that doable?
Mr. Chair, it is. I'm just trying to think that those counties will go away when that paragraph
expires. Okay.
Should we worry about that in 2014? I hear what you're saying.
Mr. Chair.
Sir Fishbach.
Would it make just sense just to rename all 14, take those names and just put them down there?
That's another. We could do that. Well, that would be another alternative, would just be to have a list of all the facilities in the state. But
I think they're all in this area anyway. So
that might be.
There'd probably be one or two outside of that.
Mr. Chair, I would just ask since we did talk about the 14-county metropolitan area, let's just remove that language and just add Hennepin, Ramsey, Dakota, Washington,
right.
And Oka,
okay.
Carver,
right.
We'll
incorporate that within within the amendment to replace 14-county metro area with the same list of counties that is shown in the existing language on lines 1.9 to 1.11.
Crap, starts is in the seventh now. Artist starts is in the seventh.
Sir, sure.
Just I'm curious to know as to what the thinking was about the distance of 7 miles. Where does that come from?
Well, Senator Sharon, this was the original conversation going back last fall or the initial discussions that were being held. There was a concern on the part of some to say, look, we don't want to allow facilities to be built across the street or down the block. I mean, there has to be some way to, because that could present a threat to the financial viability of an existing facility. And so in recognition of that, there's a thought, well, maybe we need to assure that there's a certain distance that is acceptable. This was a compromise distance. If you get too large of a circle, then there is no flexibility. It doesn't allow any kind of facilities to be built anywhere because the circles located on each existing facility would take up the whole area. So if you get the circle too big, there's no flexibility. On the other side, if you make it too small, then you have the concern about, well, maybe that could impinge on our current ability to be financially viable. So there's no magic to this number particularly, and frankly, I think it's one of those things that as we do some study on it to examine if that is the right distance, or maybe it isn't even a straight geographical description. But I think, again, the intent is to recognize that you have existing facilities to which there have been significant financial commitment, and I don't think anybody wants to suggest we want those things to go away or to be put at risk. And out of concern for the sort of free market approach to, you know, okay, let's try to not have that happen. But at the same time, create opportunities for things that don't exist today and can't exist today to potentially exist. And that's really the idea. And this may not be the perfect number. So there's really no science to that. Senator Scherer.
I understand the struggle. I would just say that my experience in this area is that there's always the arguments that use the free market concept and creating competition, which works in many, many areas of our economy. But healthcare, you know, the arguments about more hospital beds, the arguments about more, you know, special kinds of X-ray equipment, with the promise that it's going to create a downturn in the cost of those products because of competition, simply hasn't happened in healthcare. If anything, the prices have to be there to continue to pay for very expensive equipment, and we just, in some cases, it drives up the cost because they have to recover the investment dollars. So I hope when we get around to looking at this after 2014 that we don't get caught in arguing about the number of miles, but are talking about what we need to do with facilities and the expansion of healthcare facilities, under the assumption that by doing that, that the fair market, free market principles will apply to this. And I think we should, you know, get honest about the fact that in this particular industry, that's not necessarily what happens.
And, Sir Sharon, I certainly appreciate your concerns, and some of those concerns were reflected in what we were trying to do in the compromise. And I, you know, there are many of us who think that there are things in a market approach to healthcare that can be leveraged, and would agree that we currently don't leverage those things, but doesn't mean that they can't be created or conditions can't be created to allow that approach to work. I do think you're right that we've seen over the past, 30 years, we have not seen the decline of costs of care, when in most other things that we do, as technologies improve, you do see that decline. Now, I would argue from my perspective that the reason for that has been more and more attempts to manage this by legislatures and others. You may disagree, but the point is we're not going to solve that issue tonight or maybe next year. But I think it is a discussion that we need to begin to have. How do we test, I would argue, need to test more broadly, how can a market be facilitated that does allow those forces that have worked in other places to drive quality and lower cost. And I think we just need to have that conversation. I think that this at least permits a step in that direction, and it's not a, you know, jumping off the cliff kind of a step, but it is a step.
I'll look forward to that either conversation or debate.
All right.
I'm still here.
I'm sure you will be. Are there other questions? Senator Fischbach, I know there have been some people that actually came this morning that were anticipating giving testimony on either one or the other of the bills we had on the list. They may or may not wish to make comments, but I, out of respect for their interest and willingness and sacrifice in being here, I want to give opportunities for people who are here that want to testify, feel free to come. And if you want to comment about something that isn't even on the table, I guess I just want to make sure that we respect that effort that has been made. So I don't have a list of people. I guess I've got a couple. On the 709 bill, Kim Crockett and Matt Schaefer, and on the 248 bill, Dr. Steve Kohler. So let's at least take those folks, and if there are some others that want to comment, I'll certainly invite them. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Kim Crockett. I am the Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel at the Center of the American Experiment. And I appreciate the opportunity because I've tried twice today and decided to stick with it. Thank you for allowing me to testify today in connection with both Senate File 709 and Senate File 248, I guess as amended at this point. Here to testify in favor of the repeal of the radiation therapy facility construction moratorium. I've been writing and speaking about limited government and free markets for many years, and most recently in my role at the Center of the American Experiment, which is a nonprofit educational organization dedicated to creating a culture of prosperity in Minnesota. I note at the outset that this issue presents an unusual split among sponsoring lawmakers. Because of this fact and others, I think it's fair to say that reasonable people who normally favor free markets and champion patient choice find themselves divided on this issue. Maybe there would be less division if the governing principles of the marketplace could be applied. The challenge is that healthcare is increasingly regulated by the government and further distorted by powerful forces like the third-party payer system. This moratorium has presumably further distorted the market for radiation therapy in the affected 14-county area and beyond, because the government is involved in picking winners and losers. This issue is further complicated by rent-seeking behavior, such as the successful lobbying effort by one provider of radiation cancer treatments to exclude its competitors from building facilities in the greater metro area. We now find the same near-monopoly provider attempting to extend the moratorium, though, as I understand it this evening, some sort of compromise has been reached. Minnesota is the only state that has this kind of moratorium and only has it in the metro area. And I wonder if the moratorium was a good idea for radiation therapy, why doesn't Minnesota declare a moratorium on the building of clinics for mammograms, MRIs, physical therapy, and other services? We believe that it's time for the legislature to remove the moratorium. I can't comment on the compromise that's been reached, but the idea of criteria seemed like an interesting one. We do not believe that the legislature should continue to protect one group of providers by limiting competition. This only drives up costs and limits access. As you may know, certificates of need or similar programs came under criticism in the decade after being required by federal legislation in 1974, and I'll do a quick quote from the National Council of State Legislatures that studied certificates of need. By restricting new construction, certificates of need programs may reduce price competition between facilities and actually contribute to rising prices because they inhibit competitive markets that should be able to control the cost of care and guarantee quality and access to treatment and services. We view the moratorium as being even more restrictive than a certificate of need, and therefore have concluded that it leaves no room for expansion of radiation services and is even worse than a certificate of need regime. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Clark. Matt Schaefer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Matt Schaefer. I am the State Government Relations Director for Minnesota for the American Cancer Society. Our organization does not have a position on Senate File 709 or Senate File 248. However, in the past year or so, we've been asked for advice on both these proposals by a number of stakeholders as well as a number of legislators, and so we did want to provide our feedback. We sought out to answer two questions, which I believe are cited in your study. One, projecting future need for radiation treatment, and number two, determining provider capacity. I'll start with number two. We did not have the ability to determine provider capacity in Minnesota. That's just something, it's a question we're not able to answer. This shouldn't be interpreted as saying providers cannot meet that demand. We simply are just unable to give you any information on that. Looking at the need for radiation treatment, however, what we did in order to project future need was we asked our National Epidemiology Department to review available data and provide some guidance. And so what they did was they reviewed radiation treatment patterns from 2004 to 2009, and they projected that the number of cancer cases requiring radiation services will increase by 13.5% from 2009 through 2015. Now, prior to today's compromise amendment, we were going to recommend that if you're going to have a moratorium in place, you might want to have a means for determining whether there is provider capacity, and it appears that's something you're seeking to do. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. Dr. Kohler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for allowing me just a few minutes, now a few seconds, to comment, so I'll be brief. I'm an internal medicine physician, and I currently serve as Vice President and Chief Medical Officer of the Health East Care System, which includes the hospitals of Bethesda, St. John's, St. Joseph's, and Woodwinds Hospital, which is affected by your compromise tonight, and I thank you for that. This will allow us to provide radiation therapy to our patients at the Woodwinds campus, who are both inpatients, and complete the armamentarium of their full spectrum of cancer care. It'll also allow us to move that radiation machine from St. John's to Woodwinds without increasing capacity, which I know there are concerns about. Providing radiation therapy services to patients not only meets their needs, but allows us to reinvest in services that have new revenues, such as care navigation, counseling, palliative care, and hospice care. So again, I thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kohler. Are there any questions for the witnesses? Are there any other people in the audience that wish to comment on either the bills or the compromise? Not seeing a mad rush to the witness table, so thank you. And Senator Fischbach, as you're approaching, Senator Fischbach, I want to first of all thank you for your willingness to work with me and try to reach an agreement, a compromise. I also want to recognize that the interested parties on both sides of this issue, I think, have represented their interests fairly and well. And I think it's probably fair to say that there's not a lot of sense of somebody wins and somebody loses. I think there's a sense of this may be a true compromise and that not everybody feels wonderful about this. However, my goal in asking for some compromise was to try to address the fundamental question of how can we move the legislative process out of the decision maker when we talk about what works in the medical healthcare community, what works in radiation therapy. My goal was to at least recognize that we should try to create opportunities, to Sharon's point, to have some competitive dynamics. And this is a step, I believe, in that direction. It may not be perfect. It may need to have adjustments. We'll certainly look for whatever the study may suggest to us that could inform that that discussion going forward. But I just want to thank the parties involved for their efforts on this, and thank you, Senator Fischbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. And since it's late, I'm going to just renew my motion on the A5 with the incorporated changes.
Senator Fischbach moves the A5 amendment as amended. To Senate File 248, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bill is in front of us.
And then, Mr. Chair, I would like to move Senate File 248 as amended to the floor, is my understanding. It can go right to the floor.
Sir Fischbach moves Senate File 248 be recommended pass and referred to the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And members, thank you for your attention and patience tonight. We are adjourned until Friday at 9 a.m.
All right. Sherry Asher.